a wonderful song to sing right before we go back into Jonah. As we spoke last week in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 2, was Jonah's prayer from the belly of the whale. Now, for those of you that maybe haven't been here in a couple weeks, we've been in the book of Jonah, and you've been here in the book of Jonah, or in a couple weeks, and you've missed the majority of Jonah because it's not that long. But last week, we were in Jonah chapter 2, and Jonah was a prophet of God. He had been told what he was supposed to do, and he began to run from God. And he thought, remember, that he could get in a boat and sail away from the direction which God was going to send him, and he might escape. Well, that wasn't the case, because as he would tell the sailors who were about to throw him over the rail, that he served the God of the Hebrews, and that he was, in fact, a prophet of God, and that he was running from him. And so they asked him what they could do to calm the sea. And he said, throw me over the rail, and the Lord will calm the seas. And they tried everything they could do to not do that, but it ended up being the only thing that would work. And so they, out of that whole situation, the sailors would eventually toss him over the rail, and he would, as soon as he hit the ocean or whatever, the storm stopped. And so they were safe, and right then and there, those sailors offered offerings to God in heaven. And so we see some good come out of a bad situation, out of a disobedient situation in Jonah. And then Jonah is, as he is sinking and getting crushed by the waves and all of that, the Lord not only sends a whale, but he appoints a whale, which I think is important to know, that God appointed this whale to swallow, or this great fish to swallow Jonah. And then Jonah would be in the belly of that whale for 3 days. And so Jonah, while he is in that belly of the whale, I'm sure if he knew that song, he would be singing that song. And we see that from his prayer, that he understood that he was as far away from God as he could possibly be, being sunk down all the way to the depths of Sheol. And he felt the distance. Okay, he knew that he was far from God. He knew that he was disobeying God and running away. And in all of that, we see in his prayer that he looks back to the throne of God in that moment in time. And he remembers the Lord in that time as he is sinking, as he is far away from God. And then he is swallowed up by that whale. The Lord appoints him, that whale, to come and to take Jonah. And the time in the belly of the whale, we don't have a whole lot of record of. We don't know what happened in that moment of time, but think about being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. It probably not a whole lot to do. But to reflect on what God originally called you to do and what you've done and how you got to that point in your life. I mean, there's only a few things that get you to that point. Okay, I believe I've only ever heard of one other person being swallowed by a whale, and there was a story in the paper about it. I didn't print it off this morning, because that's not the point. But the bottom line is that Jonah understood and he knew what got him there and what he had to do. And he had hoped that the Lord would forgive him and give him a second chance, and that is exactly what happens, what we pick up today in Jonah chapter 3. At the end of Jonah chapter 2, we see there in verse 10, it says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. So there's not much, there's not much background here, so simply conjecture as to what Jonah looked like when he came out of the belly of the whale. That same article that I was telling you about that was in the paper about this man being swallowed up and surviving, he came out, he was kind of bleached, and his face was a little disfigured because of the acid in the belly of the whale and stuff like that. But that was just in a newspaper article. But I believe, folks, in this particular situation, that Jonah came out of the belly of the whale, first and foremost, looking like he went in. And secondly, I believe that he came out smelling just fine. In our minds, we think he come out, he's all covered in fish guts and everything else. But I believe that our God is powerful enough to protect the man inside the belly of a whale, to sustain him for one thing, to give him the oxygen that he needs, and provide the stuff that he needs for that moment that he was in that whale. And when God decided to command the whale to vomit him up, he came out just fine. And he came out just fine because our God is in control of the situation. And when Jonah, it doesn't say anything, so again, this is simply conjecture about what happened there. But Jonah immediately heads to Nineveh. And we pick up there in chapter 3, verse 1, where Jonah is recommissioned. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with the sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence in which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they had turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Jonah, in the very beginning, in verses 1 through 2, is recommissioned. He has been vomited up out of the belly of the whale, and he is given a second chance. Matter of fact, in the words there, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. There's a couple of things that I want to draw from these first two passages. It's important to know and understand that we serve a God of second chances. That he does, in his grace, give us second chances. And he's a patient God. Many times when he has called us to do things, we come up with everything in the book to put it off until we're ready. And so our God is a patient God. He's a loving God, and he cares for us. And he does, in fact, give us second chances. But it's also important to know that we serve a God where second chances aren't always given. Okay? And you're thinking, wait a minute. You're contradicting yourself. Hold on. Lean in. Second chances, it is equally important to know that there are times when God doesn't give those second chances. If you look to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, when the serpent comes and he craftily deceives Eve and Adam, because Adam was there that day, and partaking of the fruit that they were not supposed to take of, there was no second chance given there. If you look to Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, when Moses and Aaron were in the desert and they were told to speak to the rock so that the water would flow from it, what had happened? Moses, in his anger and frustration with the Israelites, what did he do? He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And in that moment of time, Moses and Aaron would lose their inheritance to the promised land in Canaan. Thirdly, if you look into 1 Kings 13, verse 26, there was a prophet of God who was told to go and to speak the words that God had given them to this other prophet. And he was supposed to do that, and he was not to return. He was supposed to speak and leave, and never not to come back the way that he went, and not to eat with them or anything like that, but just to go and to speak. He did so, and he left. He was then lied to and brought back. And because he didn't listen to God's words, and he went back to the place where he spoke the words, when he left, he was killed by a lion. And you're thinking, whoa, hold up, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Understand this, folks, that we do indeed serve a God of second chances. That he does give us those second chances, but not always. And it's important for us to understand that when we do get that opportunity, when we get that second chance, that it is a gift from God, and we should be thankful for the opportunity that we have to re-engage and to serve God. But understand that there are situations in the Bible where we do not see those second chances. So when we do, understand that it is a gift from God. Understand that not everybody may get that. Understand that it is important to know where those second chances come from. So when we receive those second chances, we should be extremely thankful and follow the Lord with all of our heart. Now understand this. We serve a God of second chances who gave all of us a big second chance by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And so, here's what I believe about that. That we all have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the big second chance that He has given the human race. That if we would place our faith and trust in Him, that we will have eternal life. I believe that we all get that second chance. But there are things in our life which God calls us to do. And if we don't obey Him, and we turn and go the other way, we may not get that opportunity again. Does that make sense? I don't know anybody saying that, well, Pastor Tommy said we only got a few times to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's not what I'm saying. We have that opportunity. But understand that there are going to be things that God calls us to do in our life. That if we don't act in that moment, and we don't follow Him faithfully, that we might lose out on that opportunity. And there's many blessings that come with those opportunities. So hearing when I say that, Jonah was so lucky to get another opportunity to go and to preach at Nineveh. He didn't want to go. And he didn't want to go because at that time there was a little bit of, there was political stuff going on there that one of the reasons why he didn't want to go there. But there was also just a large city. It was a huge place. As we're going to find as we read through verses 3 through 4, we're going to find out from where Jonah was berthed up on shore, it would be from there to Nineveh, it would be a 500-mile walk. It would take him 1 month to travel that distance. And when he got to Nineveh, Nineveh was huge and very diverse. It's Nineveh's circumference, I was doing this last night, 55 miles in circumference. And I was like, well, how do I figure out the diameter of the circumference? We take the circumference and then you divide that by pi, 3.14, and you get 17.5 miles. Okay? It's been a long time since I've been in math class, but I figured it out. Thank you, the end. Okay? 17.5, and if my math is wrong, please tell me. But it was 55 miles in circumference. It was 17 and a half miles across. And so this is a pretty big place that Jonah was to go to and to preach God's word that in 40 days that God would bring calamity upon this place if they did not turn from their wicked ways. So Jonah had some reasons why he didn't want to go. But that didn't matter. Because God had called him, God had asked him, and gave him a command to go, and Jonah disobeyed God. Jonah was so lucky to get the second chance. And if you notice there what God says, He says, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. There's something I want us to understand here. That when God says this, He says, Jonah, I'm going to give you the message. That means it's not going to be Jonah's message. It's going to be God's message that he was to deliver. We must be careful when we try to deliver the words of God, not to put our own opinions in them. The Jews did this a lot. This is what God laid out for us, but we're going to add this on there as well. And it's important and it's an imperative that we don't add to the gospel. That we don't add stipulations, that we don't add little hidden fees or whatever. That we simply preach the gospel in which the Lord laid out in this Bible. And we share with others what God's word says. Jonah knew this as God told him that he would give him the words to speak. So on that 500-mile walk to Nineveh, depending, again, we simply conjecture on how Jonah looked, but in that 1 month walk, maybe all the fish goo dried up and he didn't stink as much. But I believe that God protected him through the whole thing, that he come out dry, clean, and pressed and ready to go. Maybe, I don't know. Again, it's a conjecture. But Nineveh was that long travel, long distance. It was big. And if we see it in verses 3 through 4, so Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. As you begin to read this and you understand just how big this is, how big of a city this is, and this, here's just one man walking through, proclaiming God's word and telling them that there is, in 40 days, there is going to be calamity come across them, that God is going to destroy this city if they do not repent. And folks, we can sometimes get sucked up in the crazy story of a man being swallowed by a fish. But what we're about to see is an entire city repent by one man's words, through God speaking through him. And a whole city, from the lowest to the very top, repent and put themselves down in the ashes and sackcloth because they believe what the God has spoke through their prophet, spoke through his prophet, about the calamity that will come upon them if they do not turn and repent. It's not a story about a fish, although it's an interesting little part of it. This is a story about a man who was called by God to go and preach, who disobeyed God, who then got the opportunity, a second chance, to go back and to preach the gospel and see one of the greatest revivals ever. That they would see an entire nation turn to the Lord. That you would see a king step off of his throne, take off his clothes, put on a sackcloth, and sit in the ashes, shows you how the power of God can do great things. This is what I'm talking about when I say that sometimes we can miss out if we don't take heed of those opportunities when God calls. Jonah was lucky enough to be a part of this, but God certainly could have called somebody else to go to that city and to preach and to see what was to happen as the whole city takes heed of his words and begins to repent and put themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 5 through 10 says this. The people of Nineveh believed in God and they called a fast and put on a sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. He issued a proclamation and he said, in Nineveh, by decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man or beast or herd or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink the water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, and each may turn from his wicked way and from violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Here is, in verses 5 through 9, here is the heart of these people. They hear the words of Jonah. Remember, Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah didn't think that it was worth his time. And yet he is standing and he's seeing this city that is 55 miles in circumference and 17 and a half miles across. This large city, all suddenly, when they hear the word of God, this wasn't a 40-day revival. This was in 3 days. Jonah went through the town and he preached the word that God sent to him, and they begin to repent. Like, have y'all ever seen something like that? I haven't. Where one man goes into a large city and begins to speak the words of God, and people just begin to fear God and put themselves in the lowest position so that God might have a little bit of compassion on them and not let them perish. Jonah could have missed out on all of that. And we're going to find out next week in Jonah chapter 4 that he still doesn't get it. But God gave him the opportunity to see this great revival amongst people. People that folks, listen, when you read in the scripture that God was sending Jonah to Nineveh because their sins were speaking out against God, like, that's bad. That is a bad town. And yet God had compassion, sent his prophet. And because of the words that he sent, all of those people turned, repented of the ways that they've been going, and began to worship God in heaven. It's not a story about a fish. The fish was just part of it, a piece, the paddle in the disobedience, if you will, to remind Jonah that he served an almighty God. You know, and as I shared last week, we talked about chapter 2 and I recapped chapter 1 about how God can use us even when we're disobedient. You know, we look back at when Jonah was on the boat before he was thrown in, and we see those sailors who did not know God turn and offer sacrifices to God after they tossed Jonah over the rail. They began to believe in God because they saw before them the great power that came was serving him. They saw the great power that was before them as God calmed the oceans. I mean, if you have ever been on a boat in the midst of a storm and you know the fear that comes over you, you begin to think about, I might drown, I may not make it out of this. But for that to go from torrential to perfectly calm, you're going to think, whoa, who's in control here? And these folks were instantly pointed to God by Jonah. Even in his disobedience, God was able to use him. And so Jonah was able, as he spent those 3 nights in the belly of the whale, and then he was once again issued the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh and he began to preach there, and those folks began to change their lives, repent, to get to the lowest of lows, even the king to issue a decree to tell everybody, do not drink, do not eat, until maybe the Lord will show us a little compassion and not destroy us. Folks, what should we take from this passage this morning is that first and foremost, we serve a God who is in control. Okay? We serve a God who is in control. And you might get tired. Maybe you think I'm just an outdoors fanatic and whatnot. But as you walk out these doors and you look around and you take a breath, you can see a creator God who is in control. And so we should always remember that our God, and let me step back. We should always remember that in this world, as we serve our Lord and things just seem like they're getting crazier and crazier and crazier, and you just want to move into a cabin and not talk to anybody, that our God is in control. He is not surprised. He is not shocked. And I guarantee you that this generation is not the most wicked that has ever lived. God has seen it before. And God has brought his people through those wicked times. His word has continued to make travel through those difficult times. But listen, this is what God needs. God needs willing people to go and to share his word with others. God doesn't use the prophets anymore because we, as Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so God speaks to you and me, and he says, hey, Tommy, hey, Spencer, hey, Greg, you guys need to get out. You need to do this. This is what I'm calling you to do. And that Holy Spirit begins to burn inside of you. You know that it's the Holy Spirit telling you to do that thing. That is how God, his word, continues to this generation today. Through us. We are the workers. And as Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. And we don't want to be like Jonah and walk around. And you're going to see, even in chapter 4, after Jonah sees this great revival amongst these people, Jonah's still got a bad attitude. We as Christians are called to follow Christ each and every day. This morning I shared that little children's moment, which kind of went down like a plane. But I think the message got across that we are to have the Lord Jesus Christ as the pilot of our life. It sounds cliche. It sounds kind of Christianese. But this what would Jesus do is something we need to ask ourselves on a daily basis. What would our Lord have us do? Where would he have us go? How would he have us act in this situation? Those are the questions we need to be asking ourselves as we go through our quiet time, as we go into our prayer time. Those are the questions we ask the Lord. If you look back, you don't have to look. I'm just going to read it to you. A couple weeks ago in Bible study, we went through the Sermon on the Mount. We went through Matthew chapter 6, which just so happens to have the Lord's Prayer in it. And I want you to understand, and I think I might have shared this a little bit with you all, about the way that the Lord's Prayer goes. And this is Jesus telling his disciples how they should pray. And I want you to notice what happens in 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 6 says this: pray then, this is Jesus' words, pray then in this way: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's right there, folks. This is Jesus' words telling us this is how you should pray. This is how you should pray to the Lord. You should tell him, ask him, Lord, you're in heaven, you're on your throne, you're in control, hallowed be thy name. So we start off with worship. We're worshiping the God who is in heaven, who has given us the grace, who's given us love and a second chance. And then it says, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, not our will, your will. So what is God calling you to do today? What is he asking you to do for his kingdom? He asked Jonah to go and preach the gospel, to preach salvation, to preach repentance. Not the gospel, because Jesus wasn't there yet. But he went to preach the good news. That there's a Lord God in heaven. And you should repent, trust him. Jonah was reluctant to go. Took a little convincing. But eventually he went. Folks, don't walk around in this world with this attitude of, well, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that for Jesus, but I'm not. Or I'm too busy, I got so much other stuff going on. Don't do that. You have been called, you have been saved, you have been redeemed. And how cruel is it to walk through this life with the antidote to sin and to not share it with anybody else? We share that in our lives by the way that we live our lives and by the way that we talk and how we share with people. God needs us to step up and to step out. Let me rephrase that. God wants us to step up and to step out. My question to you today is this: are you like Jonah? We're going to find out. This will all come full circle in chapter 4. That you can see a revival in front of you and still have a heart of stone. And listen, if that is you this morning, and you don't get excited about the things of God, you need to begin to ask the Lord to show you what it is that he would have for your life. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure how to pray. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 6, start in verse 9, and see how Jesus tells us we should pray. The very beginning of that, he begins to tell us that we need to get to a quiet place, to not pray on the street corners. He tells us that prayer should be something intimate. And so get quiet, get alone with Jesus, and begin to have that time and ask the Lord to show you what it is that you need to be doing in your life for him. So remember, Jonah's story is not about a big fish. It's about a guy with a bad attitude who God still uses to bring glory to his name. And so this morning again, you might have a bad attitude this morning. But God can use you if you're willing. And you would trust in him and have faith in him and know that he is going to pull you through. So where are you this morning? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we ask that you would show us, Lord, what it is that you would have for us. Lord, that you would guide us, you would direct us, that you would show us, Lord, what the plan is, Father. Maybe not all of it, but Lord, give us a good idea of the direction in which we should go. Lord, give us the strength through the Holy Spirit, Father, to preach the gospel wherever we go, whether it be through words or by the actions that we present to the outside world, Father. Help us to live for you. Father, help us not to have the bad attitude that Jonah had, Father, but to see the revival and the good things that are going on right there in front of us, Father. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to find our strength in you, Father. And Lord, if there is one here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, they have no idea what it means to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would understand that you went to the cross to solve a sin problem. A sin problem in my life and in their life, Father, that you paid the price through your son Jesus on the cross. That his blood covered all sin. And Lord, that if we would just place our faith and trust in him, that we would have eternal life. Romans 10:8 tells us that, reminds us each and every day. If we love you, that we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. So Father, help them to understand that this morning. And Lord, that they would be born again, that they would be changed, Lord, that they would be converted, Lord, that they would be transformed into what you would have them to be. Father, help us to live a transformed life. Help us to walk for you each and every day. We love you, Lord, and we ask this all in your name. The band's going to come, and I'm going to stand out here in the front. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to talk, I'll be here. Let's stand and sing this morning.